So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the news.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Well, oh well, oh well. Happy New Year, everybody. Doc Young and Les Thatcher with you. It's time, of course, for another edition of Wrestling Weekly. And Les, I don't know if you knew this or not, but it's the first of the year. The first show of the year.
You think I'm senile or what?
I'm
old, but I still have my mental capabilities.
I'm just making sure.
I think so.
Just making sure.
I was just going to say, one of the first things I was going to say is Happy New Year, everyone. And this is not another edition of Wrestling Weekly. It's the first edition of the new year, 2007. I believe, Doc. I'm not sure. I'll check my calendar.
Absolutely it is. And tonight we've got, of course, Brian Alvarez. He's going to be joining us for Hot Topic. You know Brian.
I know Brian, yes.
I'm talking to the audience. He's a semi-regular on the show, of course. He does, of course, his weekly newsletter. Over at figure4weekly.com, yes. And he's also doing the Brian and Vinny show, which is
And
doing,
he also does every Sunday night of the Observer.
Yes, he does.
Dave Meltzer.
This man does it all. Well, not all of it, but he does quite a bit.
Some girls have different opinion of that. Anyway, I don't know.
We're going to have to talk about that when he gets on. But, no, seriously, he's a pretty busy guy, and we do appreciate having him on when he can be on. So I know everybody likes hearing from him. So Ryan Alvarez is going to be here.
We should mention that Doc has spent, I bet minutes, building a calendar on the front page of our website to show you who's going to be on the show each week.
It's pretty, isn't it?
Yeah.
So this is what we're going to do from now on. We usually had where we would put up who's going to be on the show the next week. But no. From now on, it's a calendar. Starting with January, we're going to have whoever's going to be on the show for the whole month. If we don't have one, of course, it's going to say TBA. When we get somebody booked for that spot, we will fill it in. So WrestlingWeekly.com is where you can go to find out who's going to be on the show for the whole month. Good stuff. And speaking of that, tonight, going to be on the show is Dr. Tom Pritchard, a man who has a wealth of wrestling information right at his fingertips.
Why is it at his fingertips? Is it in his mind?
Because he touches his head before when he starts thinking.
I've known him for years. I never knew him to do that. Anyway, one of my favorite people, we've got the – when I found out he was going to be on the show, I decided, yes, a few things I want to kick around with a good doctor.
Yes, he's a he's going to be on just a little bit later on.
And it is a new year. It's the second day of January, 2 days into the new year. And if you thought there was actually going to be wrestling and difference on television and you didn't watch last night, it's going to be the same in 2007.
That's right.
I wasted about 18 minutes of my time watching the Federline Cena thing.
Who saw that coming?
It was just, I thought at first, they're covering the thing over, John, I played it the way he should, do I really care about you?
Right.
Then I thought the stupid, the silly parts, the ones lacking the L word, logic, was Federline asking for a no DQ match, which told you obviously somebody was going to interfere. You didn't know it was going to be Umaga.
No. I actually thought it was going to be Nitro, but...
Then, Nitro just the bump machine for Federline.
Absolutely.
His bee is itch.
Yes.
If you will, as you would say. Anyway,
as the kids say today.
Anyway, Then after it was horribly, thankfully over, but horrible, with a horrible finish, for some goofy reason, Melina was upset that Maria wanted an interview with Kevin Federline and slapped her and called her a bitch.
Right.
And JR said, I can't imagine what's going on. And I thought the same thing, only probably not in the same text. I thought, why? What? Well, the other thing is Maria was already dressed to wrestle, so assuming that she's not, you know, she was going to take a challenge from somebody. Again, small details. But then when I found out, I thought, well, you know, because there's nothing but reruns, and I was going to switch back and forth the bowl games to see, you know, what the scores were. But I thought, well, I'll watch this until the coach decided Cena was going to take on four people, of which two would be himself and Estrada.
Right.
And Umaga and Nitro. And I thought, no, I'll watch the football game. and I did. I thought it was, here's the other part. Again, if you use logic and common sense, here we go. Les is off to a run in 2 days into the new year. Yes, if you're listening to this show, I have this problem with saying what's on my mind. It's just, well, first of all, the baby faces, you know, it's what to say, it's like Coyote and Roadrunner to a certain degree. Roadrunner's the baby face, Coyote's the stupid heel, right? And the baby face usually should outsmart the heel. Now, why would the baby face accept a match with four people? Is he drunk? Is it that much money? And when I say I don't care, four people, the fact that Estrada and Coach aren't wrestlers, although I know they put Coach in matches, God knows why, it's 4-on-1. Why would you do that? If you knew I was going to hit you in the head with a baseball bat when you walked in my front door, would you be stupid enough to walk in my front door?
No, I'd come through one of the windows like normal.
And plus, we're beating this multi, you know, it's DX against three teams. It's this guy against, it's two against three, three against, I don't even understand. But it comes back to the old, same old thing. Less is more, and we've seen all these multiple combinations of handicap matches, and these writers aren't quick enough to understand that, you know, the team that you want to win should be the team on the short side. But then you kill, well, like the thing with DX, you killed three teams in quick succession over 3 weeks by beating them all over again.
Yeah.
In varying ways. You know, yeah, well, okay, but that's not good for your roster. But anyway.
At least Coach and Armando were two of the guys that they killed.
Oh, you know, but I don't care. It's still 4-on-1. Doc, I'm sorry. Ken Shamrock or Tito Ortiz can pick four guys relatively random, and I still feel pretty certain that unless Tito or Ken take those four guys out, and these four guys feed themselves to Ken and Tito one at a time, I don't see how they're going to beat them.
Right.
But hey, what do I know?
But I mean,
after all these years in this business, it's not the same business anyway. That's the point.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, isn't it supposed to be that Cena has to do this match because Coach is in charge of putting them together?
Well, you know, okay. But again, if there's any law in Tombstone, if Wyatt Earp is, you know, the marshal, then I mean, stop. Think about. Okay, let's play it your way. Okay. Peyton Manning is told that if he goes out and plays this game tonight for the Colts, that the referees are all, they all hated his father. His father owes him money or whatever, and they're going to call a bad game. What's he going to do?
He's going to go out there.
He is?
Yeah.
Why?
Because
he's stupid, right? Because he can't walk and chew gum at the same time. Doc, I see why you're yes. You made it. You are in the demographic they're shooting for. I'm just kind of kicked back here, and my brain's dead, and if you just run anything by me, I'll just kind of buy into it, okay?
I don't know. I can't see if that I can't see if that really happened, that they'd really sit there. Their
all right, Doc, there's got to be some logic to it. But the other point is, how many handicap matches have you seen on both major shows in the last month? End of story. Move on. Here we go again. Chris? Okay.
I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Well, if I'm working with the senile bunch that you seem to open the show with me on, yes, I probably need someone to explain to me what day it is. You know?
Here's some good news, and this is something that you might be very interested in and actually think is funny, as I think it's funny. But Turner Broadcasting System, of course, the creators of the animated series called Assy McGee, that's on the Cartoon Network's late-night block, is suing WWE.com over the Mr. McMahon's Kiss My Ass cartoon, which debuted on Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Now, Assy McGee is an animated sitcom featuring this guy, Assy McGee. He's a vigilante police officer who's literally just like a walking pair of buttocks. The series premiered on November 26th for the Cartoon Network. Mr. McMahon's show was, I believe, the 27th when it prepared, when it appeared. So they actually do have first right of use. Michael Cole, who oversees WWE.com, as everybody knows, asked his staffers to come up with the idea. One of his staffers came up with this. Vince thought it was a great idea because, you know, he would have his own cartoon starring his own butt. Now he's not too happy that he's got this lawsuit filed on him. He had never heard of the show before.
The noise you hear is me hitting my phone. I think I'm hearing something I don't. Welcome to the new year and intelligent conversation here on Wrestling Weekly. Go ahead, Doc.
Yes, and tonight it's all about butts for some reason. But Michael Cole is said to be in some serious trouble now. There's a chance he will be fired as head of WWE.com. His SmackDown job is not in jeopardy, but as far as WWE.com, this could, you know, push him out the door over there.
Well, you know, Rob Conway got fired last night.
Yes.
See, there's another stupid thing. Now, I'm not, you know what, if you're going to, here again, it's let's rush out there and just do something that doesn't matter to anybody. Bob Conway is basically doing jobs. Rob's a hell of a worker, by the way. I mean, he was taught properly by Danny Davis and OVW. Rob can carry a match if given the opportunity. But anyway, it was a way for Vince to get mic time, I guess. I don't know. Or the fact that rather than just moving him to SmackDown, he decided to quit.
Right.
Okay, why? And the other thing is, don't you build up to things like that. I mean, you just don't, let's just, okay, hey, it was about 2 hours before the show. I got an idea. We'll do it in the next 15 minutes. I mean, it's, you know, it just, it doesn't work, man.
Right.
Well, nobody cares. And with a guy who doesn't win, nobody cares anyway.
I think the whole point of it was so McMahon could come out and say that Donald Trump stole your fire.
Okay, but I'm just saying, here is a useless segment. When I say useless, it's useless. It is of no value to you. They have a pay-per-view on Sunday, am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, what does that have to getting you to buy that pay-per-view?
Nothing.
What did much of anything last night have to do to make you buy that pay-per-view?
Nothing. A horrible, horrible setup to a pay-per-view week.
Well, I mean, but the point is, you know, I'm just saying, you know, to me, again, I'm not a billionaire, so I don't know. But if I were spending $250,000 every Monday night to put a show on to get my product across, first of all, I'd give it a little more class. I'd take away some of the stupid comedy and toilet jokes and my ass and this and that and the other thing. I'd actually put wrestling on the wrestling show. Oh, entertainment, sports entertainment.
Excuse right.
But I would put wrestling on the sports entertainment show. I wouldn't be concerned if you call my championship belt a strap or the buckle, because I don't know why that is going to make a difference.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you know, it's just useless. I don't know how to say it any differently. It's just, you know, everybody's rushing to do something, and I don't see the value.
Yeah, it does all seem a bit rushed, and there's no really good building up to the pay-per-views anymore, except for things like, you know, Umaga coming into Cena's match, which is completely
obvious.
Well,
now, wasn't there a rule, a stipulation that they weren't supposed to touch each other until New Year's resolution?
Yeah.
When is New Year's resolution?
Maybe they meant New Year's.
No, Doc.
I know.
Are you sleeping with somebody in the office up there?
I'm being sarcastic in that answer.
Okay, I thought, first of all, you were into this, that whole, never mind what you were into. Any of you out there have old tapes of Coachman and his and Estrada wrestling anybody, please see that Doc gets a copy so he can be entertained. It beats watching the paint peel off the wall, but whatever. The paint peeling off the wall is running a very close second to that.
Moving on to some TNA stuff. Conan, not having a good time lately.
No. I can't make fun of that. I mean,
no.
He needs a kidney. That's one of the things you pay, part of the prices you pay for the business in whatever manner, you know.
Right. The story is that that Conan was supposed to have a hip replacement surgery a couple weeks ago in Mexico. When they opened him up for the operations, they found that his kidneys were in horrible shape. They didn't want to risk surgery. He's now back in the United States doing kidney dialysis. And he's going to require a kidney transplant.
Yeah, yeah, he is. Now, you know what, I mean, he obviously isn't, he's in much better shape, but that was one of the things Wahoo McDaniel needed a kidney transplant and couldn't get one. Billy Graham got one from Ron's last name. He wrestled a little bit, but anyway.
Bass?
Huh?
Bass?
No, this guy, Ron Pritchard, played football for the Bengals, and he also wrestled in the offseason some. But anyway, when you say that, it's like, you know, it's not, well, hey, I'll go to the store and give me a kidney next week and have them put it in. I mean, you know, it's got to be the right blood type. It's got to be a match.
Right.
And the crazy thing is, a lot of times, even relatives won't match up.
Right.
So anyway.
And Conan, today on his official MySpace page, he is actively looking for a kidney. He says his blood type is O positive. And if you're interested in helping Conan, let him know at his MySpace.
Well, bless his heart. I hope it works out for him.
I absolutely do too.
He's a young guy too.
Yeah.
You know, while you're on the TNA thing, their storylines are kind of, just kind of aren't lines. They're kind of wavy and jumping, and there's not a talking about logic. They don't make a lot of sense either sometimes. Mm-hmm. The worst thing, it drove me crazy. We didn't do a show last. When I saw the Cornette sit in with Tanay, which, by the way, worked out. I had said almost a year ago that, to me, I would put Cornette in the seat and let him run play-by-play and Tanay do color, and Don West could sell DVDs or do his, you know, Gene Okerlund impersonation, whatever. And if you caught the show with Jimmy sitting in, it worked. The thing that drove me crazy, because Jimmy has been castrated figuratively as an authority figure, because of stupid stuff that goes on in front of his eyes. He sat there and said, James Storm, well, Storm shouldn't have a beer bottle in the ring. And I thought, well, Jim, here's a clever idea. You run the damn show, take it away from him.
Right.
But, of course, he's not empowered to do that. He's only empowered as to what the writers, have to say, or how they write it. And it's just, and the whole, and I mentioned this, it was actually before it aired, Angle putting Don West in an ankle lock and SoCal Val, and then a week later, Joe's supposed girlfriend. And
right.
It's like, come on. What is lot? I mean, Terrell Owens spit on a guy and it cost him $35,000, right? Carmelo Anthony threw a lousy punch, and it cost him $700,000+ because it's a 15-game suspension. So, come on. I mean, here again, how do you spend my disbelief with that? The other thing is, Kurt Angle is an Olympic gold medalist. Now, whether he's a heel or babyface, which, by the way, I have people keep asking me, who's the babyface who's here with him and Joe? And I said, hey, I don't know. And I'm sure no one there knows either.
Yeah.
But the point is, they're going into their third match in less than 3 months, almost less than 3 months. And to me, I wouldn't have, yet they would have yet to have had their first match. Everyone's rushing through this like, is the world coming to an end? No one's made me privy of this or what? We've got to get everything in. We're double parked, and I've got to get all my crap in before before the, my meter runs out? What's, I mean...
Somebody told me that they were watching the History Channel, and they said the world is coming to an end pretty soon, so I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe TNA watches the History Channel.
Well, they should watch something else. anybody that thinks Jim Cornette has a lot to do with the writing of that show, I can tell you that's nonsense, because there's the lack of logic and flow to the stories. It makes sense. They don't make any for a great, to a great degree. Anyway, something I want to comment on is most everyone, if you read the websites, if you don't, you'll probably see it in the Observer if you read that, or probably Brian Alvarez may even have it in the Figure Four Weekly. Jim Dillon sent out a press release commenting on comments made by Eric Bischoff in his book, which I didn't read Bischoff's book. However, I did read Dave Meltzer's four-part review of that book, and I kind of laughed. It made a sarcastic remark to a friend of mine. I said, Meltzer could write another book just correcting what Bischoff has lied about or forgot about and said the wrong way, whatever. Because that one thing I would say for David is he and I may disagree from time to time on what makes a good match and what doesn't, but we won't ever disagree the fact that he's a stickler for detail.
Yes.
You know, and he doesn't go on rumor and innuendo. So anyway, the sad thing was, and JJ is a very close personal friend of mine. I've known him. We were tag team partners in the early 70s when he first went on the road. Anyway, it was about his son, who is a special education child, is that Bischoff had hired him because he felt sorry for him, that JJ didn't contribute anything to the business. And I'm here to, you know, Jim said it very nicely and was very politically correct, and I won't be. You couldn't roll Eric Bischoff and Vince Russo together and make a good word on Jim Dillon's butt, okay, as far as knowing the wrestling business. Now, I don't care if they're good people, bad people. That's not even what I'm talking about. They obviously know how to dance the political corporate mambo, which is saying yes when the answer should be no and vice versa, because they both have got their foot in the door and their nose in the person, you know, the rectums that they need to have them in to get the jobs. But I've said this to some young upstarts since I started training guys, and I will make this comment and say for Jim Dillon that he probably left more wrestling knowledge in the toilet this morning than both Russo and, well, than Eric Bischoff ever had as far as wrestling, understanding how to do run wrestling, never mind the corporate nonsense or that other thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I just find that rather, you know, I found that it's upsetting to me because I love Jim to death, because he's a good guy, because he's a class guy, and because that he even had to address this, you know, and I don't understand to what value it was for Bischoff to say that in his book.
Yeah.
You know, I really don't. I thought it was very classless.
So I'm assuming we're going to have to cancel the upcoming Eric Bischoff interview.
But you can have him on. I don't care.
I'm kidding. But, no, seriously, yeah. Bischoff, in my opinion, and, you know, I like Eric Bischoff. I think he's entertaining and blah, blah, blah. But I think he's more of a businessman than a wrestling mind.
Well, to say, and you know, I've said in my column on PW Insider that that probably two of the most fertile minds in North America still active are both without jobs in the wrestling business as far as being creative, and that's Heyman and Cornette.
All right.
And I would add Jim to that. Jim is he's very good, very analytical, very about detail and logic, Doc. You wouldn't like him at all.
Isn't he doing something that's not national right now, though?
What do you mean not national?
Isn't he working for a small regional promotion?
I don't think so. He's going to be at the deal in Waynesboro, Virginia, the 13th, 14th, and 15th of April with myself and 50 of sundry other wrestlers, at the Ward Family Promotions All-American Fan Fest and Supercard Weekend.
Excellent.
He does those sort of things. He's done now. I think they used him on Ring of Honor once on a deal with Cornette. I'm not sure.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah, but he's not working for a small promotion. But again, he's got a sharp mind for the wrestling business. Kind of realize that he and Pat Patterson worked as Vince's right and left hand for a lot of years. And then, well, you know, I was part of the WCW company their last year or so of existence. And I'll be quite frank, the money was good. I sat and scratched my head and wondered why the people that actually knew the wrestling business had no say-so in it. And Jim was one of those people.
Right.
You know? But anyway, that's, you know, I just felt that I needed to say that because Jim's a class guy, and for, you know, and to bring up his son's, you know, physical problems, I don't think is necessary either because it doesn't add anything to the story. And certainly I don't think Bischoff is going to sell himself as a humanitarian to anybody anytime soon. So.
No, and I think a lot of the ways that some things were put, of course, in the book were to create controversy just like this, you know, and
yeah.
To sell some extra books.
Okay.
And, if you know, if he wants to sell out people like that, then...
You know, we're talking about last year, and I've got in front of me estimated North American pay-per-view buys for last year, the top 20-some, or maybe altogether, I don't know. Largest gates in North America, okay, top 10. What I'm saying is this. Normally, of the top 10 estimated North American pay-per-view buys, you could almost figure wrestling was going to be half or more of those. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That would have been 2003, 2002, 2004, 2005, whatever. Okay? But last year, number one was boxing. Two and three were UFC, mixed martial arts. Four was wrestling. That was WrestleMania. Five was MMA. Six was MMA. Seven was MMA. Eight was boxing. Mm-hmm. Nine was MMA. And 10 was boxing. There was only one wrestling in the top 10. Now, the top draw was 925,000 buys. That was for Oscar De La Hoya. I can't even talk, De La Hoya. And Maorga, is that it? I'm not a boxing fan. Ricardo Maorga.
McGorga.
Yeah.
Something
okay.
I can't really say it either.
See? And the next to that was Tito Ortiz and Kenny Shamrock.
Mm-hmm.
Two. 775,000. And at number four is WrestleMania at 636,000. And they think that this Lydell Ortiz thing busted the top on that one last week.
When
now, I'll tell you the truth. I watched the build-up for that on Spike.
That's how you build it up.
It's how you build it's how we built wrestling up for years. And why we don't do it that way anymore is beyond my comprehension. But, yeah, it was great, and it got me interested. And I'm not a huge fan of UFC. I mean, for no particular reason, I'm just not.
Right.
I'm not immersed in it. I know some of the names and one thing or another. Now, largest gates in North America. One, UFC, two, UFC, three, UFC, four, UFC, five, WrestleMania, six, UFC, seven, UFC, eight, Pride, nine, UFC, and 10, UFC.
Wow.
What's that tell you?
That's the largest gate take?
Huh?
The largest gate take?
3,452,123.
Wow. This includes pay-per-view buys, or?
No, that's large.
The gate take.
Gates,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
WrestleMania came in at 5 at 2,500,000.
Good Lord. That's amazing. Yeah. I had no idea.
Yeah. Well, but I mean that, and when I say this, you know, Les talking about a lot of negative things about the wrestling. Yes, I am. This is my life. I mean, I don't want to see the business go down like this. And in part, a great part is due to the horrible shows that you're being given.
Yeah.
The stupid comedy we're talking about and the things that you're making light of are seriously a huge part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they really are.
And I'd like to speak right now to the audience for Les. I've known Les for years. Les loves the business, and this is why he is so critical right now. Why he's so frustrated right now. And I will talk to him in a normal conversation, and it really frustrates him.
Well, of course it does.
He's in a bad mood.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you what bothered me. A very close friend of mine, his wife, well, she was a close friend as well. Aunt Bowman passed away Christmas Eve family for 30, almost 39, almost 40 years. Their son calls me Uncle Les and so forth. And but I just got, you know, and then we had Gutman on a couple weeks ago, and he had mentioned that several guys, not from my generation, but from the next generation, that he had interviewed for their site, when he asked him about the current product, he said, well, I don't know because I don't watch it. I can't stand to watch it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Lance Storm takes people to task every week on his website. He's from the current generation, if you will.
He's new school, if you will,
huh?
If you put it that. He's new school, if you put it that way.
Yeah, I mean, but well, you know, and there's the problem. You know, it's just it's the domestic market is dry, has gotten shallow. That's why the companies are going out of the country quite so much.
Mm-hmm.
The independents, for some stupid reason, the majority of them think copying bad comedy is the way to get to the and it's not, of course. Plus, it doesn't do anything for them. What the independents should understand is, first of all, that's where you learn your craft, the foundation to be in this business. Second of all, probably a lot of wrestling fans are looking for an alternative to some semblance of the product that they actually enjoyed years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I say years ago, hell, it may not have been 10 years yet. But, I mean, the point is, that's why they're not watching television. So instead of giving them a poor copy of what they're turning off, give them some wrestling. You know, Ring of Honor is probably the only company that's in the market for that right now, and they have no television. They're not interested. I mean, they're not in a situation where they can put themselves on a national hookup, you know.
Right. And that's not their plan anyway.
No, it's not. It's not. But if you stop, they probably present the best product consistently in this country. Now, if you're selling me something to watch Benoit work with Finlay or Regal, man, I'm there. If Michaels and Hunter will come out and work with some good guys opposed to all the silly DX nonsense, which is cool, but not between bells, I'm into watching good talent.
Mm-hmm.
And well, we're going to have Dr. Tom on later, and he'll tell you the same thing I'm telling you right now. Man, the future for good talent looks very slim right now. The rosters are at their weakest I have seen them, and I can't even begin. Maybe ever.
That's a bold statement.
Well, you know what? Here's the crazy thing.
Debatable.
There were 30 promotions in this country when I started in the business. 30 promotions that were running weekly, you know, every night and weekly. And, man, I was, I never wanted for work.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, well, there's two major companies now. Okay, well, that means that there should be cream of the talent. It should be deep, right?
Right.
Wrong.
And it's not.
No, and it's not. And that's what drives. Yeah, yeah. Does that upset me? You bet your butt it does.
And back to Ring of Honor, I believe that we had Gabe Sapolsky on, you know, a few weeks ago. I believe, not. I didn't try to get him to say this out loud, but he knows that when you're dealing with the network and you're dealing with television, they got their own agenda. They have their own ideas that they want to put in there. Gabe, right now, what he's doing and what Ring of Honor is doing right now, they have call. You know, they have the call to do it the way they want to do it. They're selling their stuff on tapes. They don't have to answer to a network.
Right. Well,
they don't have to answer to ratings.
Let me stop you a second, too. If people have never seen a Ring of Honor show, now they have the flip-flop and fly 150-pound guys.
Sure.
Who I'm not tremendously excited about. You know, you're going to see a lot. Now, you're going to see a lot of that on AMTV show when it starts the end of the month.
Right.
But part of those guys, they're doing what they're paid to do on TV. But there are some of those guys that can work solid. And hopefully we're going to have Cody Michaels on before I pass away. And he's going to talk about it. He runs the dressing room for the MTV Wrestling
Society X. Yes.
And he'll tell you the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, because every match, if they tour, this company tours, they can't have three-minute matches. They can't run a half-hour show and expect you to buy a ticket for it. But, I mean, the point is, what I was getting at to start with is in Ring of Honor, it's the matches, the main events, the Bryan Danielsons against Nigel McGuinness, the Kenta against Samoa Joe, that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the type. I mean, they're competitive matches. That's why UFC, Pride, MMA is everybody's jumping on the bandwagon there. But it, part of it is it's being promoted properly. Like I say, if you'd watched the Ortiz Lydell build up this past week on Spike, it was cool. Now, I'll tell you one of the bad things about having major television involved.
Wrestling, you know, they don't say, okay, this is the, this body slam was brought to you by Pepsi. Don't forget that.
And well, I just think there's so much, everyone's so exaggerated, body language, you know, run-ins, everything's a run-in, a pull-apart. It's become stupid. It's silly. You know what? What would be exciting would to see two guys talk about actually wanting to wrestle one another in a normal voice, normal tone. And talk about it like you might hear, I don't know, Brett Favre and Tom Brady talk about going to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with that? We used to draw. We can draw money with that.
They don't think it's good enough anymore.
Well, most of they have never been in a ring in their lives.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Okay. Just checking.
One last story before we move on to Hot Topic. Bad news for the TNA talent. As TNA reportedly informed them last week that the company is no longer going to be paying for their hotel or their car rental fees. it's WWE Junior, Les, I'm telling you.
Well,
news of this has been considered a huge morale killer within TNA, with word of this decision being announced just days before Christmas. With some of the lower-end talent only making a few hundred dollars per shot, it can end up costing them money to work.
Well, sure. And I'm going to tell you the truth, and I won't say, but now I don't know what the situation is right now, but I know just a year and a half ago or so, maybe two, I had a couple guys in WWE on the lower end of the food chain telling me that it was basically costing them to work the shows.
Right.
But, you see, there's the problem. When I mentioned I broke into business when there were 30 territories,
mm-hmm.
I could make you mad and six other promoters and still have 23 territories to pick from.
Right.
And alternate those territories. But anyway, what we're in currently and on the two major companies is the modern road version of the Emperor's new suit of clothes. He's naked, but you got to tell him how beautiful his clothes are.
Right.
And if you tell the right people how beautiful their clothes are, you work. No matter if you have any talent or not. And that's the same, and God knows that's the same with the writers.
And that wraps it up. We've said all we had to for the entire run of the show, so we're going to end the show. No, I'm just kidding. But, yeah, that does sum it up, Les, of what's going on right now with the Big Two.
Well, it is. I mean, there's so many brilliant people that have their heads in the business in both companies that would, they can't afford to stand up and say, I don't like what's going on. Because there's no place else to get work.
Mm-hmm. Oh, such a depressing day, Les.
It is. Well, you know what? It's the funny thing is, Doc, for you and guys, people like yourself who actually haven't worked in the business as such, mm-hmm. it's probably not.
Well, you
actually don't know any better. When I say that, I don't mean that in a sarcastic or a nasty way. You don't.
Well, I have watched. Just because I went alive at the time doesn't mean I haven't seen it. You know what I mean? But I guess in your case, the point you're trying to make is that it's different to live through it than to watch it on tape later.
Well, sure it is. Sure, it's different to have paid such a price to do it. And when I mean paid a price, not just by injuries and travel and stuff, but relationships that didn't last because they couldn't understand your dedication, or family functions that you didn't make because of your dedication to the business, or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know?
That's an excellent point.
Yes, it is.
And you're making me feel lower and lower with every...
Well, no, I'm not trying
no, I'm
to
kidding.
Make anybody feel lower. You know, it's... Listen, let me tell you something. I played a little high school basketball, but I am a tremendous... every tremendous respect for the guys who were able to get as far as the pros, and I, no matter what I might feel about their game, I know they feel a whole lot differently than I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. I accept that.
Well, if it's either that or I'm about to put my foot up your rear end, you have your choice.
That's true, too. That is true, too. We're going to take a break, guys. When we come back, it is, of course, Hot Topic time. Brian Alvarez is going to be with us. Dr. Tom Pritchard coming up later in the show. Stick around. It's Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and Les Thatcher. We'll be right back.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taken place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Wrestling-radio.com. The internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
He can considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, The Best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
News and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling in the Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now from the Figure Four Weekly Newsletter, he's our semi-regular wrestling news expert man, Brian Alvarez. Did you love that intro or what?
That was fantastic.
Thank you.
Semi-regular, is that anything like buy? Or
at this
buy
point,
a lot of things, but not regular.
Happy New Year, Brian.
Happy New Year.
What did you do over the holiday season, Brian? I haven't talked to you in
You guys had some bad weather up your part of the country. Winds and stuff, right? Knocking
well, let's
around.
See. We had horrible snows that shut down 405. They were so bad. And since we don't live in Alaska, we didn't have the snow equipment, so we were all just stuck. And then we had high winds, like 80 miles an hour, something crazy, and trees fell down. And
wow.
I had a friend who had no power for 9 days, and life was horrible. And then the holiday weekend, I watched 3 MMA shows, including one on New Year's Eve. So I actually did end up going out with young Vincent, and I actually went to a New Year's party with an old friend of ours that used to wrestle, Sonny O'Mara. And there was drinking and reverie, and life was good.
Awesome.
All right. Did you make any resolutions for the new year?
No, I didn't, actually.
Oh, good for you. That means there's no problem with breaking them.
That's right.
I figured I didn't want to have the streak of the dude from La Resistance, Rob Conway. His New Year's resolution didn't last very long, so I didn't want to fall into that boat.
That was the quickest breaking of a resolution I've seen.
We could move on to Hot Topic after I just have you tell me that I know that last night, though, you reserved time to watch K-Fed at Cena.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, I told Doc I wasted the first 18 minutes of my, from between 9 and 9:18 Eastern Standard Time. And I thought, well, there's nothing but football and reruns on tonight. I'll watch the whole show until I saw he was going to wrestle 4 guys. And I said, okay, where's the football game?
You know what's funny is that was actually a great little match at the end. I mean, that's your Christmas miracle right there. Because you had John Cena, who I actually think he has now reached the point where he's an okay wrestler. I can no longer call him a bad wrestler. In fact, some days he's actually pretty good. And you had 4 guys, 2 of which were geeks, Coach and Alejandro,
right.
Who putting Cena in the ring with those two is a recipe for danger. And then Umaga and Johnny Nitro, who worked pretty well with them. And it was like you had 4 guys, they all had to be in a certain spot at a certain time, and everything just went perfect. And K-Fed's one of those guys where people hate this guy so much that he's the one guy you can put on a show and everybody cheers John Cena. And he was over like, he was like Steve Austin during this match. Everybody just went haywire for it. And it was good stuff.
If Saddam Hussein hadn't have been dead, they could have brought him out and still got, you know, less heat than
I'll tell you what, of those 4 guys, the two wrestlers I'm very familiar with, and the truth is Eddie or Umaga or Jamal or whatever the hell else other name he may go by, is probably the only one of the 4 that would come close to that I would say, okay, I need you to go out and lead this match and call it.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, but what Brian is saying is that Cena is starting to get, diversify a little more and get out of the rut of the Rob Van Dam type. I've got 6 moves, and you're going to see all 6 of them tonight, whether you want to or not.
Right.
Yep.
And also, There's been, you know, since the summer, since probably the beginning of the summer, you've seen this little by little change in Cena's entire character. He went from the white rapper to now a walking poster for the movie The Marine.
Yeah, whatever works for you.
But, I mean, and before you know it, I had talked to some people, some other wrestling fans and stuff, and I said, did you notice now that he is more like The Marine than he is a rapper? He doesn't rap anymore, he doesn't wear baggy pants, really. He doesn't have big chain anymore. He doesn't do any of that stuff anymore. And it just, they did it so little by little that before you knew it, everybody was like, you know what, you're right.
And they didn't even notice. Yeah, may I add something?
Sure.
That I think what actually solidified him up to this point, and which had to do with the Marine, of course, was his being rubbing elbows with the soldiers, going to the boot camp, and doing all the major talk shows around the country, which gave him the rub. And I think with the overseas thing, the boot camp and all, it's hard to boo a guy that is your version of a young, good-looking Uncle Sam.
That supports your troops, yes. It's sort of like, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, if you boo the man who supports your troops and does all these things for the people's families and stuff like that, you'd be seen as anti-American, you know? You'd seen as a traitor if you didn't if you sort of didn't cheer Cena.
Been booed, though, and he'll be booed next week once KFED's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. But you know what we're talking about here is if you watch the Mafia movies, and if you read a little history about one of the things that these people always did was donate to charities in their neighborhoods, and so it's hard to dislike somebody that's doing something good, right? No matter what else they might be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie wasn't great, and it got panned and all. But I like the way it has changed his character. All right, move right along, Doc.
Absolutely, hot topic, Brian.
Well, I just wanted to make mention of an interesting fact that I came across today when I got the ratings for the TNA show. TNA it had been doing well for a while. It jumped up to 1.2, and then it had a week where it was at a 1.1. It is now back to a 0.9, so some things really never change. And in the history of TNA, it's 4 years, almost 5 years, where very little has changed, and the change has been very, very slow. But what was interesting to me was the show got a 0.94 was the exact rating that it got. And this obviously was a show that is being used to build up the pay-per-view that's coming up in 2 weeks. And that's what TV's for. You got this TV. You're not making a lot of money off ad revenue or anything like that. The whole point of your TV should be sell people on this pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
It gets a 0.94. So UFC immediately afterwards had a special, which they were using to sell their pay-per-view. They had a pay-per-view this past weekend, a Chuck Liddell-Tito Ortiz fight. That show got a 0.94, identical rating.
Wow.
And the UFC show probably will do between 800,000 and 1 million buys this past weekend, and the TNA show is going to do about 30,000. Now, the percentage of people that buy TNA pay-per-views and WWE pay-per-views as compared to UFC is very, very, very large. There's a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
And really, the whole story of 2006 was, why is UFC selling so many pay-per-views, and why is WWE not selling pay-per-views? Why is domestic dropping, and why is TNA still stuck at 30,000? And it's just been a very interesting thing to look at, because the answer is basically that UFC now is doing what pro wrestling used to do before pro wrestling forgot what it used to do, is basically how it...
I love you, Brian Alvarez. I just mentioned that it hasn't been a half hour ago. I told him that I'm not a huge MMA fan, but I got into the Ortiz-Lydell buildup this past week. And I said that's, and Doc said, yeah, it's really good. I said, well, that's the way we used to sell our product.
Yeah, and Larry Matisic, who was the right hand man of Sam Mushnick forever and booked St. Louis for a long time, he made the comment flat out that what UFC does is what we did in St. Louis for decades. It's the same thing. And for some reason, what it was. In 95 and 96 and 97, when the big pro wrestling boom occurred, a lot of things changed. The whole business changed. And what sold pay-per-views, I mean, you still had the rivalries and that sort of thing. Like, the biggest rivalry ever was a very simple storyline. Steve Austin was a beer drinker. He hated his boss, and he wanted to beat the guy up. This made made $1 billion. Vince McMahon became a billionaire because of this very simple storyline.
Right.
But there was also a period where you could do a lot of different sort of things to sell pay-per-views. Wrestling was hot. You could do all sorts of things and people would buy the product. And, things have gone full circle. The business has changed once again, and that's the biggest problem with TNA. In February of 2006, when it was Liddell and Couture, their big fight that did 400,000 buys on pay-per-view, everything really turned around at that point for UFC, and they started making money by bringing in old stars, which is something that wrestling has often done, having the young guys, the Matt Hughes, the Tito Ortiz, beat the old guys very decisively to show the people that these are your new stars, and to book simple rivalries, like the whole Tito-Chuck rivalry is, he poked me in the eye and then knocked me out. Would I have won if he had not poked me in the eye? Simple things like that.
Mm-hmm.
TNA Vince Russo, you watch that TV, and it's, I mean, watching the TNA show and then watching the UFC show night and day. The UFC show is all about, here are these two guys, they hate each other, and they're going to have a fight, and we're going to find out who's going to win. And you can pay and see this on Sunday, by the way, or Saturday. TNA was all about an hour of crash TV straight out of 1997, and it's not 1997 anymore. And go ahead,
Brian. One of the things that jumped off the page at me, and I mentioned this to Doc earlier. I said, you know, to me, Angle is an Olympic gold medalist, which to me demands a little bit of reserve and respect. And
sure.
I just, to me, the whole silly, convoluted, ignorant, over the top thing of him putting Don West and SoCal Val in ankle locks is just so cartoonish that I can't take it seriously anyway.
Well, it's straight out of 10 years ago. It's everything that Russo saw in 96, 97, and 98, and 99 that he's trying to bring back. And the problem is, that first Joe Angle match, you had Samoa Joe, who had been undefeated in TNA for 18 months. And you had Kurt Angle, who was a five-time WWE, WCW, whatever champion or whatever it was, Olympic gold medalist, wrestling machine from WWE. And what it really was an interpromotional match. It was this one top guy from WWE, this one top guy from TNA, both of which are unstoppable, or so it seems, and one of them is going to win on pay-per-view, and you didn't even need an angle. You did not need an angle, because everybody in TNA knew everything about Kurt Angle, who he was, the whole nine yards. This was the one match you didn't have to do anything. All you had to do was put this match on pay-per-view, and sure enough, it doubled the usual buy rate, 60,000 buys or whatever. So as soon as the match was over, it was like, okay, now we need to book some angles. Let's have Kurt Angle, the ankle lock, beat up Don West, you're mad at this guy, this, that, and the other thing, girlfriends, whatever. Anyway, the second show did like half of the first show. The angles hurt the buy rate of the second show. And this third match, which is coming up in 2 weeks, I mean, you're asking people to pay to see the same match three times in like 10 weeks. And it's going to do another 30,000 buys. Because it's not 1997 anymore. I think that's the whole lesson of 2006 was, it's 2006 now. And even now it's 2007, and I don't even know if some of the things that worked last year will work. But it's just, I think it's a case of people that are behind the times, and they don't understand that they're behind the times. And that's why I got another 0.9.
Yeah, I figured it was going to, it had to drop a little bit. And you know, something I had mentioned earlier, too, and I'm sure you will concur, is that one of their complaints is we only have an hour, and then we see the paparazzi, whatever the hell that is, with Nash, which takes 5 or 6 minutes. And
the
then,
PCS.
And then we see the VKM thing, which we know that's never, the challenge is never going to be answered, and which is actually humorous to a certain degree, but still, you're not going to buy a pay-per-view for either one of these things, right?
The thing that angers me the most about VKM is B.G. James cut this promo on Sean and Hunter and Vince, and it was one of those promos that was so great because it was from the heart. I mean, he believed every word he said. The people were going crazy, and I sat there and I thought, you are building up a match that we'll never see. Could you not devote this same time and the same energy to perhaps a VKM versus Team 3D feud that we can actually pay to see on pay-per-view?
Sure.
Isn't that the point of this business?
Right, right.
I mean, it's like WWE does it now and then. Like, Shawn Michaels made a random comment on Raw about, you know, I never faced the best wrestler of this generation or whatever, and got people talking. It's not going to lead to anything, but at least it was one line thrown out in the middle of a interview that was designed to hype up an actual match we could see on pay-per-view. TNA is full of these crazy angles that can never lead to anything.
Well,
I mean, VKM will never lead to anything.
Right.
And if you look at the amount of time that has been spent on that, in a company that complains that an hour is not long enough, that's a major problem.
Well, you know what, and Dave touched on this, and so I obviously I'm probably paraphrasing him to a certain degree when I say this, but I sat here and scratched my head with the same thing. Okay, nightstick on a pole match. Why are we having this match? Well, it's to determine the number one challenger for Abyss's title. Well, then why is Abyss in the match?
Yeah.
You know?
And then once it was over, you had a stipulation match that ended up resulting in a three-way match with no stipulations on the pay-per-view.
Right.
You built for a regular match.
And you've wasted all this time giving Serotonin a whole new persona, and they lose every match. Which,
yep.
Same as Bobby Roode, which that whole build-up went nowhere, too.
Yeah.
It was all waste. I mean, so you wasted a lot of expensive airtime going nowhere, right?
I think, you know, there are a million. I mean, you could list a million things that are problems in the wrestling business, but one of them is it's funny because you should book a show as if everybody is, I don't want to say everybody's stupid, but you may as well pretend everybody knows nothing, and you've got to explain everything to them on every show and make everything very simple and very clear. You will be successful. TNA, this stuff is so complicated and convoluted that I sit there with a notepad, and I take 1,800 words worth of notes on a show, and the show's over, and I cannot remember a thing that happened. I have to go through the notes again when I do reports on the radio show to try and remember what I just saw. That's ineffective TV.
You're right.
I mean, fans aren't out there taking notes. I mean, it should be very simple. This is your top feud. Here's two guys. This is why they don't like each other. Perhaps here's some backstory from a couple of months ago. And that's it. We don't need a match where you need three screens to explain the rules.
Right.
When you need one screen to explain the rules, you got a problem. When you got three screens, you're got a real problem.
Well, you know, I keep screaming as loud as I can. The fact you were talking about Angle and Joe, if I were running that particular company, they wouldn't have had their first match till probably April.
Sure, and certainly not a month later for the rematch.
No, absolutely not. You know, there's case two, and which got nothing to do with TNA necessarily. But, you know, some kids were asking me on Saturday night, some young wrestlers, talking about the roster depth is so bad, you know, in both companies. But they end up beating everybody to death. And I said, you know, to me, the crazy thing is there's some decent young talent out there on the indies who are looking to be looked at. They're looking for a break. When you're in their area, or in Orlando's case, bring them in, I guess. That way you're – The basis of your every week roster is not getting jobbed out, and they still it's like last night when the four tag teams came out is when I switched to football, because you know they've all been, well, Crime Time hasn't been beat to death. The only reason they haven't is because it can't work.
Yep.
I mean, no, that's true, Doc. When I say that, I'm going to tell you, a booker told me years ago, and I'll never forget it. It was a compliment, and then it was also a fact of life as a business. He said, kid, you're a hell of a worker. And I said, well, thank you. He said, that's the good news. The bad news is you're going to do a lot of jobs because there's guys in this business than aren't. And there's more guys in this business today than aren't than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
Am I right, Brian?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
I want to cover both ends of this this spectrum here. I want to start with TNA. Brian, do you see any feud storylines, angles right now that are going on in TNA that you actually think are being presented well?
Presented well? God, I can't even think. I mean, these shows, to me, they're all such a blur. That nothing, the only thing, when I think of TNA and I think, what sticks out in TNA? The only thing I can think is Conan's promos, and he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, from
what do you think about this feud with Jerry Lynn and the whole X Division thing?
It's going to lead to some good matches, but it's not going to mean a thing for business. I mean, I don't know. It's just there's so much stuff going on, and you know, you're never given a chance to really digest anything, and. It's good. The good thing about TNA is they've got a fan base like at the end of WCW. These guys will stick around for anything, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it would be better. They need to grow that audience a little bit. They need to convert more of those freeloaders to actual, you know, folks purchasing pay-per-views if they want to make any money ever. But it's good that they've got that loyal audience, because I don't know, you know, if I'm not even sure it's possible for them to dip below like a million viewers. That seems to be their average, and no matter how good the show is, no matter how bad the show is, It's always around 1 million, 1.1 million viewers, so that's a good thing. But as far as growing the business, I see nothing on the horizon.
No. What about on the other side, on WWE's side? I'd like to just throw in that I like the way that they've been using Umaga.
They've done a fantastic job with Umaga. And, I mean, you know, nobody's saying that WWE needs to try to be like UFC. What we're trying to say is there are certain things that UFC does that WWE could learn from. And one of the things, I mean, they're doing it right with Umaga. It's very simple. There's this giant, angry man who's never been beaten. Here's your babyface champion. And they weren't allowed to touch for a certain amount of time, which kind of came to an end last night for no logical reason, but
right.
We'll forget that. But, you know, that's the whole deal. And this pay-per-view is going to do a good buy rate. And when you look at the SmackDown side, it's like, okay, what are we getting for a Royal Rumble for the title match? Well, they're going to do a SmackDown sprint, and whoever wins their match the fastest gets a championship match. And if that were not on the undercard of the Royal Rumble, if that were just a standalone pay-per-view, talk about 120,000 buys, if you're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
Because who cares? Who cares that the guy that won the fastest match is going to get this title match? Nobody cares. You can have the diehards buying this show because they buy every show. And it's not like this Umaga-Cena thing. It's like something they lucked into or some sort of magic. It was just something very simple that they thought about. And why you can't put a little more thought into the top matches. I mean, we're, you know, 3 months away from WrestleMania, and we don't know what they're doing for WrestleMania.
Right.
I mean, you know, there are rumored matches, you know, Cena and Orton or whatever, but how has that been built up over the last year?
This happened, the same thing happened last year, too.
Yeah, and last year was the dumbest ever, because last year you had a three-way for the SmackDown title, and they built up to it by having all three men lose repeatedly. And the idea was, at the pay-per-view, we'll see which guy is going to win.
The best of the worst.
Yeah, who sucks the least was the tagline for this pay-per-view, it seemed. And just stuff like that, I just scratch my head like, you know, why would anyone want to buy that?
Well,
like, does anyone actually sit and think in WWE, why would people want to buy this pay-per-view?
One more thing I wanted to get your opinion on. Instead of John Cena and Umaga, if it had been John Cena and Kevin Federline at the pay-per-view headlining, do you think it would have got more buys?
No. I think people will pay to hate him People will tune in to hate him for free, but I don't think people are buying a pay-per-view to see KFed.
And I think Doc should share with us whatever drug he's taking.
I'm throwing a question out there.
I'll say this, though. Hey, don't get me wrong. I love the KFed stuff. I love the KFed stuff.
I hate it.
But he shouldn't be headlining pay-per-views, though.
No.
He's a great heel, dude. He's great.
I appreciate you being on this week for Hot Topic, Brian. And, yeah, there's some more Kevin Federline fans after last night for some reason. I've been seeing them lurking around.
They are lurking around. They know.
They like the attitude, my friend.
They want to be his gardener or something when he inherits all that money from Britney.
If you guys want to hear more of Brian Alvarez, you don't have to go far. Wrestling Observer with, of course, Brian and Dave Meltzer every Sunday, WrestlingObserver.com. Also, it's Figure 4 Weekly Newsletter at 4FW.
F4WOnline.com.
F4WOnline.com, sorry. And, of course, the Brian and Vinny Show, free. At
and,
F4WOnline.com.
Of course, Observer Live every Sunday night.
That's right. Plenty of radio for everybody. Yes. F4WOnline.com. Good stuff out there.
Please, Brian, give my best to Uncle David.
Will do.
And you, again, Happy New Year, and it's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. We'll see you back in a few weeks.
Talk to you very soon.
Bye-bye,
buddy. Brian. Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. That's going to wrap up Hot Topic. And we, Les... You and I have a game to play this week.
Okay. Whatever you say, Doc. I just go along for the ride.
I know we usually get together and we play Scrabble after the show, but this time we're going to play during the show the pay-per-view prediction game. New Year's Revolution is coming this Sunday. And, Lessie, you whooped me really bad last time at this game. You tore me apart.
Well, I was lucky.
And we're
I try not to look at it as someone in the, you know, a wrestler in the industry for a lot of years. I try to look at it as somebody who who knows nothing.
It worked for you last time.
Which is basically what I think a lot of the people that are putting these shows together are.
But it's time for me to get my revenge.
Whatever works, brother.
After the break, we're going to play the pay-per-view prediction game. Hey, play along with us. Put down your predictions for who's going to win at the pay-per-view this weekend and see if you can best myself and Les at this game. Also, of course, don't forget Dr. Tom Pritchard's coming up in just a little bit, guys. Stick around. It's Wrestling Weekly. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. Hang in there. We'll be right back.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing, Luke? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
News and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNA. TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. Time for us to play the pay-per-view prediction game. WWE's New Year's Revolution is coming up this Sunday, January 7th, at, of course, 8 p.m. Eastern. not a lot of build up to this, I don't think. But we'll go through it just a little bit at a time. Les, are you ready to try to whip me once again at this game?
I'm always ready to try to whip you, Doc. That's all I live for anymore. What can I tell you? Go ahead.
Okay, first of all, we've got Carlito versus Chris Masters. This is sort of a little feud that's been going on for quite a while right now.
Carlito over.
You're going to say Carlito? Did Masters win last night? I don't remember.
Was he not in the tag match last night?
Yeah.
Well, it was pretty forgettable, whatever he did last night, obviously.
You're right.
I didn't see it.
I was going to say, that's telling, but...
Yes, it is.
Let me go with Masters, just to make it interesting. Okay, Ric Flair versus Kenny Dykstra. Wow, this is an amazing push, basically present they gave to Kenny to have him beat Ric Flair, and now they're pushing the fact that, you know, 20 years old, beating Ric Flair. It's never been done.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Here again, the realism of this whole thing is the fact there is none. Flair's been doing jobs for guys, getting beat up. Mm-hmm. So, and this guy has beat him, pinned him. He pinned him last night. He pinned him last week or something. Anyway, I kind of see Flair winning this one.
You do?
Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. Flair's an artist. He can beat the kid and still leave the kid looking good, which he should.
Yes, but is that what they're going to ask him to do?
Well, you know what? If I beat myself up worrying about what somebody that doesn't even understand the business is going to ask somebody that does what to do, I will drive myself crazy. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I don't know if Rick's got a lot of input into that kind of thing, though.
Well, he should have. Whether he does or not, I don't know. You know, with this kid, you know, maybe. But it doesn't make a lot of sense for the kid to beat him twice and then beat him on the pay-per-view. It makes more sense for Rick to slip over him twice and then to put the kid over on the pay-per-view.
Certainly
the
does.
The kid's being tenacious, you know. But if the kid's already beat him and then Rick doesn't win one back, then I don't know.
And nothing, unless they're planning on completely burying Rick. We're going to have to find out at the pay-per-view. I'm going to go with you, my friend. I'm going to go with Ric Flair on this one.
Okay.
Next up is the Women's Championship between both wrestlers, Mickie James and Victoria. Both women wrestlers are going to be in this match.
Two actual women that actually know how to wrestle. That's exciting.
It may be a good one.
I'm just all tore up. Truthfully, I haven't put the strap on Victoria, but then again, that's not me. They'll probably leave it on Mickie James.
I'm going to go with you on that one. I'm going to say Mickie James and... it might actually be a good match, but as long as Mickey's wearing something skirty and short, that's good enough for my friend.
That's good enough
for me.
I'm hanging up. I don't need this.
Intercontinental Championship. It's Jeff Hardy versus Johnny Nitro in a steel cage match.
I would, honestly, you know me, I like the heels. I like the heels being the champions and the babyfaces chasing them, and that's something they don't. I'd put the strap back on Nitro, otherwise this thing's just a waste of time. And they've had some decent matches. I like Jeff Hardy as a person. Matt's the better worker of the two, honestly. So
you're going to go with the Nitro on this one? I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with you on that one. I'm actually thinking Nitro, too. I like the fact that... Babyface chases the heel. Also, a lot of stuff has been, you know, a lot of build-up for some reason with Nitro and Melina, given them airtime and stuff, even though they're not very good at promos.
No, they're not.
So I would like to, you know, I would like to believe that Nitro's going to come out on top in this one. DX versus the World Tag Team Champions, rated RKO. Is the semi-main event, I guess you would say.
What's this again now?
DX versus RKO.
Oh, okay.
Rated RKO.
Wait, RKO, I keep thinking of the movie studio, and I realize you're talking about Orton and Edge.
Now. Orton and Edge, yes. The World Tag Team Champions.
I leave it where it's at. I think that makes good business sense. Of course, I don't know that they'll do that, but I see Edge and Orton, if the title's on the line, stealing it some way.
Okay. I'm going to go with DX on this one. I have to. I'm going to go ahead and say that DX is going to be the new tag team champions after Sunday.
Whatever works for you, Doc.
And, of course, the main event is going to be John Cena versus Umaga.
You know, here's the deal. I think we talked about earlier, and you know, I said all along I thought the build-up for Umaga was good.
Yeah.
But to me, the heavy gimmicks, well, the same with Abyss. It's not a personal issue. It's just those aren't people I put my belts on.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that Cena will get his hand raised. Is the title on the line?
Yes. Title is on the line.
Okay, I'd say that Cena gets his hand raised then.
Okay, you're going to go with Cena?
Yeah.
I am going to make a bold prediction, my friend. I'm going to say that after Sunday, Umaga is going to be the world champion.
Oh, what a bold prediction.
That's a bold prediction. Oh, it's pretty hard to beat Cena lately, but I think it's time for Cena to finally, you know, have a big...
I would think at this point, Brian had a very valid point. There has been no big build for Mania, which is only 3 months down the road, right?
True.
So I think, I don't see that particular match, and I don't mean that in a disparaging way. I just don't see that as one of the top matches at Mania. So I think for Cena to, if it's going to be Hunter, if it's going to be Michaels, if it's going to, I don't know, but... who it's going to be with Cena at Mania, if it's within the same roster. But I don't see it with Eddie, with Umaga, so.
That's a good point. You're almost making me
want to
change.
I try to make good points.
You're almost making me want to change my mind here. But, so, okay, the chat room's, you know.
Chat room's what?
They're telling me something, and I don't think it's true, so I'm not going to say it.
Go ahead.
They're saying that we won second place in Show of the Year in the Wrestling Radio Network Awards.
Well, I guess that's good.
That's good.
Who was first?
I have no idea, but I appreciate your votes, people.
Thank you.
They're in the chat room telling me this right now. That's why I got distracted.
We just appreciate you hanging around for our insanity.
Absolutely. We don't need a bunch of awards to feel good about ourselves. We feel good when you guys come in and you listen to the show.
Well, the point is, if we actually make some sense out of this, and I know sometimes I don't, but Doc always does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And we also feel good, you know, if we're selling something at the time, if you buy it. That makes us feel really good. Isn't that right, Les?
I guess I'm. Am I selling? Are you selling yourself? I'm not selling myself.
No, I said something, not myself.
Oh, okay.
If we're selling anything, we would like you to buy it.
I do personal training, and I do seminars, which if you would like to book me for those, I'm more than available.
Absolutely. We
yes.
like money. We love that.
Yes.
Okay, guys, check it out, New Year's Revolution. It is live on pay-per-view January 7th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Going to take a break right now, guys, and when we come back, we've got our featured guest. Dr. Tom Pritchard is going to be with us. He's one of the great minds of wrestling, and he's one of Les's partners in EPWT.
And a good guy, even though he does hang around with me.
We'll forgive him for that one.
Well, you know, we all have our shortcomings, and that happens to be one of his. He actually puts up with me.
Excellent. We'll take a break, guys, when we come back. Like we said, Dr. Tom Pritch is going to be in the house. Stick around.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Jeez, you know that information might have... been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com.
histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
There's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Hi, my name is Adam Newdelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now is our featured guest for tonight from the world of wrestling, of course. He had a great start to the mid-beginning of his career. Smoky Mountain Wrestling moved on to WWE, of course. Dr. Tom Pritchard is in the house. Doc.
Happy New Year to you guys, man.
Happy New Year, Doc.
Huh?
You know what, Tom? It just goes to show that since you don't have surgically implanted chest, that Doc Young doesn't pay a lot of. He didn't start his career in Smoky. My God, he was a grizzled veteran when Smoky.
I know. Well, I almost said start, and then I said, well, the middle.
Whatever.
That's okay. You know, I was thinking actually earlier, and I don't know what you guys want to talk about tonight, but I was. It's funny you should say that, Doc, because I really was giving thought to, especially after watching Raw last night, about what it takes to actually make it in the business today and where these guys are getting their start from. And I was thinking when I did start, which I had my very first match in 1979, the way I learned was by being in the ring with veterans every night. And that's really how you learn this business, not by going to a wrestling school and practicing moves all day. I mean, it's really on-the-job training. And I don't think that part of the business has changed, although a lot of the guys coming up today think that the business wrestling began with Hulk Hogan, and I got to talk for him. It didn't.
Really?
Yeah, I know, Les. It's kind of a hard thing to believe, but yeah, there was wrestling. I don't think you were in on that.
Yeah. So. Everybody knows it wasn't Hogan. It was Andre the Giant.
Yeah, I know. Andre was, yeah, right. Andre did put it on the map.
That's where it started.
Sure.
No, but yeah.
You know what, Doc? I keep forgetting I've got two docs. I feel like I'm General Hospital for some reason. Tom, I was saying to a couple kids last week, I said, you know, I feel it's necessary I was working with some kids over at ACW. I said, it feels necessary to stop and talk with you guys. I said, because that's the part that a lot of you guys miss. And they said, what do you mean? I said, well, I said, if I'd have blown a finish in Lynchburg, Virginia, and happened to be riding with a couple of veterans, there was 200 miles between there and Charlotte for them to chew my rear end and tell me for 200 miles what I'd done wrong in that match. And you guys don't have that opportunity. And I think that's something that's missing. You know, it's being critiqued by veterans because, so, well, you know, I had said earlier in this show that as far as depth of talent on rosters, this is the worst I think I've ever seen in my life.
You know, I think that there's man, depth and talent. There's some young guys who might have potential if given a fair opportunity. And you're right, Les. I think traveling down the road I guess because I knew I was going to talk to you guys tonight, but I've been thinking about this all day today about what it was like first breaking in. And I got to be honest with you, when I did first break in and went to California, wrestled some in Texas and went to California and got teamed up with Al Madrill. And Les, did you ever get a chance to meet Al Madrill?
I have met Al, but I've never had a chance to work with him.
What a miserable son of a bitch. I mean, just wouldn't give you a break left or right. He was fun. He was funny. But then he would just get in this grumpy, grouchy mood. He was only 30 years old. And I couldn't understand that. But then I had other guys who helped me, like John Tolis, who just being in the ring with them and talking to you during the match and coming back and critiquing you. That really helped me. And Tom Renesto came in the book after Chavo Guerrero. I was thinking of all these great names that were in the business, and I'm really digging deep into the history of the business this last year, especially. One of the main reasons is Frankie Kane being at the Gulf Coast reunion. One reason I want to really try and make it this year. My wife got me the DVD with Frankie Kane, and the book Whatever Happened to Frankie Kane. Now, Doc Young, I don't know if you know the history of Frankie Kane.
We had Frankie on the show a year ago, I guess.
Yes, and it was a big learning experience. I learned a lot from listening to Frankie.
One of the first big angles I was ever involved in Charlotte was when he was one of the guys as one of the Infernos. But go ahead with your story.
Well, that's what I was going to say, Les. This is what I grew up with the Infernos and the Clubfoot Inferno and throwing the fire. It brings me back to what made me want to be a wrestler. It was guys like Frankie who, realizing it now, he was only 5'7".
Yeah.
And all my life I was told I was too small to be a wrestler. Well, I remember the Infernos with J.C. Dykes as this, I mean, unbeatable, evil team, and they got incredible heat. And it's not about the size. It's about what you do with it. I think that these guys today watch Raw and SmackDown, the young guys what I'm talking about, and I think it looks too sanitized, and they don't have the opportunity to go to a weekly wrestling show like I did when I was growing up to get that excitement and to feel it and sense it. You know, when you used to go to a weekly card and you could feel the electricity in the crowd when it was a big match. I was so fortunate to be around Houston, Texas every Friday night with Paul Bosch's cards with Johnny Valentine, Wahoo McDaniel, Jose Lothario, Red Bastien, Stasiak. My God, there was top guys everywhere, and even the underneath card was like solid. Paul he wouldn't put up with anything, but
sure.
I didn't realize how lucky I was to be able to grow up with that and go every Friday night and to feel that excitement, to feel the tension in the air when you didn't know who was going to win the main event. Now you watch Raw and SmackDown, and that's what these guys, that's what these kids today, damn it. Kids today really do think that's what the wrestling business is.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is today. That is what it is. But if you can understand how to generate the same excitement and electricity that the guys back in your day, Les, that I grew up watching, as well as once you got done working, you went into the other side of it, which was announcing or promoting, and you had to sell the action just as much. You know, that's how I learned the hold, was listening to Paul Bosch announce and call the hold and get me into the excitement of the match along with the action. But it all goes together. It all fits together. And that's what nobody really, I think, they don't put the pieces together. They just watch on Raw and SmackDown and see the explosions and the glitz and glamour, and they don't realize how hard it really is to get a reaction.
Yeah.
An honest reaction, not a manufactured reaction.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Well, you know, Tom, don't you think, too, today, and I see it all, I mean, you see it at the indie level, is that it's more like a game show.
Yeah.
People think they have to chant for this. It's not an honest reaction a lot of these kids get. It's just that, you know, they want to be part of the show.
Right, and I can understand that because it does look glamorous. It looks, you know, so exciting to be a big star on Monday night or Friday night wrestling. But you know what? There's a lot more to it than what goes on TV, as we all well know. And for the guys who don't take the time to have that genuine love and passion for the business, I really am of the belief you have to be a fan. You have to really love this to be good at it.
Yeah.
And otherwise, you're going to go out there and it's going to be, again, manufactured and not real.
You know, we talked about this earlier tonight, and I get your feedback on it. But, you know, this whole Samoa Joe thing is there 2 weeks, I think it is, or whatever it is, they've got coming up a third match in less than 3 months. And Angle's just been in a promotion not quite 4 months. And I made the comment, well, from the very beginning, that as far as I was concerned, they wouldn't have their first match till April.
Yeah, I really do. I believe in that too. But you know, again, Les, you got to think of this. I have tried so hard to get into a new mindset and really look at the TV and say, you know, I'm going to try. And enjoy this, and I'm going to try and see what the appeal is. I don't know if I'm just jaded, or if I'm, you know, God forbid, too old, or if it's just the business has passed me by. But everything has to be right now. Right now. Right now. It has to be the next pay-per-view, this pay-per-view, this pay-per-view. My God, there's no chance to really build something to the proper height, but you know, need to get it.
Let me ask you this: when you we're talking about, you and I both worked at a time when we ran the same town every week, but we built to this week to next week, from next week to the following week, and to, if we were moving out of the you know, whatever smaller gym we were in to do, like Charlotte used to do, you know, Christmas and 4th of July and so forth, so on. They built to the bigger show for the blow-off. But the point I'm getting at is, in simplicity of the thing to me, is that now instead of week to week, we have to build month to month, and which to me gives you more time to give me a good reason to spend. And when I say spend $40, that's a lot. I mean, we were talking a couple weeks ago that in the course of what, Doc Young, 6 weeks, they had 5 pay-per-views.
Yeah.
And I said, can you imagine who's got the kind of money to spend, you know, $40 times 5 over that period of time? I mean, you've got to be something really special.
Yeah, but again, you know, I think back on everything, and I put it all in perspective as well. You know, 30 years ago, there wasn't a pay-per-view every month. There was barely a pay-per-view at all. I don't believe that
right. They
were even invented. But now, with so much on the line, vying for that entertainment dollar, I think every pay-per-view, whether it's WWE, TNA, or what have you, I think that they look at every show as, we have got to get their money this time. We'll worry about the next one tomorrow. And that's the way I perceive they view it. I don't know if that's for true. That's for sure, but it's almost like, and I wonder if, I don't believe, that I truly don't believe that the wrestling business will ever die. I don't believe that. I believe somewhere, some way, someone will always be drawing. And with cable TV, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. It's going to be out there. But I do see the slumps, and I do see that down period. Like, you know, I hear about people saying there's a down period now, and I don't see anything really getting a buzz with it. But they're still running, and they still seem to be surviving. And, you know, sometimes I watch a show, and it seems like some of the guys are really invigorated and they have a lot of energy to be there, like John Cena. I think Cena's doing a great job in his role. But in general, I think that right now everybody has to have the big show every month. It has to be that must-see. And quite honestly, that's hard to do. You can't have the greatest show on earth every month.
No, you're right. Let me ask you. You mentioned Cena, and I want to ask you because you've had the opportunity to work closely with both guys. I've worked with both guys and know both, but I mean, and I know what I think. But I want your opinion as more of an insider. If Cena, now most people never thought of Steve Austin as a great ring general or a great worker, but if Cena had 3/4 of what Austin's ring sense, ring savvy, leadership, timing, psychology, how much better of a champion would he be?
Well, I think he'd certainly be a lot better champion, but I think that John Cena has gotten that trial by fire, and I think John Cena was put in a very tough spot.
Oh, I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, but he had the patience and stayed steady. Even when people were knocking him, and when he would go out there and get booed out of an arena when they were looking for the other reaction, he stayed steady. He didn't panic. Now, and that in itself, I think, is a great learning experience, and it shows a lot of what his metal is made of. I mean, it really does. It shows his metal in a way that, he enjoys being a heel, but his role is a baby face.
Right.
But if people are going to boo him, I think he enjoys that, and he can let that happen without getting rattled and not throw a Sid Vicious like tantrum. He'll roll with it, and I think he knows how to roll with it. But I think if he had Austin's savvy and if he had Austin's presence, but completely two different personalities.
Oh, I agree. You know,
yeah, I mean, in the
I'm
back.
I'm saying that's the other thing that these kids that are scripts are written for their promos, their matches are laid out step by step by step. They aren't the creative talent that. Well, I shouldn't say they aren't. They haven't given the opportunity to find out whether they're the creative talent that we're talking about. The great guys from our era, my era, your
yeah.
era, the combination of the two.
Yeah, I think, but again. That's what I say when I watch the shows. That is what, when you say professional wrestling, that is what people conjure up in their minds today. They don't say sports entertainment. That's wrestling to them, WWE. So my point is you've got some guys in there like Kenny Dykstra who quite honestly is a natural. Given the chance to show what he's really got, given the chance to mature some, because he's very immature, but he's basically a good kid. He just has a lot of growing up to do. He is one of those guys who's the diamond in the rough that if he stays healthy and keeps his nose clean and grows up, he will be a tremendous asset years down the road. But if he goes too fast and he burns out and he doesn't take the time or he doesn't listen, and sometimes he doesn't listen, he's a kid. I know Kenny pretty good. So, he does understand some of the history of the business. He does look at the guys who came before him, and he's a fan. So that's his asset, and that's his strength. But some of the guys that get in there, are in there for all the wrong reasons, and
you can't be in there just to be a star. You have to be in there because you love what you're doing.
Yes, you do. I said earlier tonight, we were talking about, you know, Doc had said that I get really upset sometimes about the way the business handles. I said, yeah, you know, because it's more than just the fact that you got injuries or you took bumps. It's what you've sacrificed emotionally, mentally, relationship-wise, family-wise. And I don't care what anybody says, and I refuse to take the political stance that's what the business, because what you and I did is still valid in terms of a foundation, and Ring of Honor proves that every time they put a main event in the ring.
Well, sure, I agree with the foundation.
With modernization and adjustment, I think that's always been a part of the business. But the whole thing of, well, let's turn it into a comedy skit because these guys can't work is just gaga.
Well, yeah, and you also have to remember that that's what I'm saying. When what you see on Raw and SmackDown is such a minute part of what really goes on. I mean, you also have to go to house shows. They have to perform overseas, not in front of a TV camera, not doing a TV show where the matches are structured completely different. And let's not take away from the fact that the guys who are on the road with WWE do go through some tough sacrifices as well. And there are some who just don't get it at all. But I mean, a majority of the guys that are there, they put their time in and they do their do what they have to do, and we all it takes their toll on a man. So,
well, sure. I mean, it regardless if you're good at bad at it, just the schedule, the pressure, and the whole nine yards, it takes its toll on you emotionally and physically.
Yeah, certainly. But you know, I think we made it through and we're stronger and better for it. So,
first off, bless you, Dr. Tom. I heard you sneeze.
That was actually a cough, but that's okay.
Okay. Secondly, I had a question to ask both of you. You're both trainers, of course. Let's say, you know, playing devil's advocate, let's say that McMahon gets his wish and wrestling becomes more about charisma, storylines, and promos. As trainers, would you change your style of training to concentrate more on those types of things than the actual wrestling? Or would you just get out of it?
I would continue training people just the way I train them today or 10 years ago, because you still need a foundation. I wouldn't train them with the thought that they're going to die an employee of WWE, because very few people do.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you this, there's a lot of guys that are making a decent living there that if they leave there will not go anyplace else, simply because they don't have the talent to go anyplace else, because they haven't learned the foundation for the business. But that doesn't mean, and Tom will tell you, when I had a developmental contract, we did a one day of nothing but promos. We had mental exercises to make you work harder on your promos,
right,
and stuff. But, you know, which is still is modernizing, but still... that's my thought as a trainer, and to be able to look myself in the mirror every morning. I've got to teach you to be the best worker I can, not just for this one particular person.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. I think the fact that you have to know, you have to let the guys know what to expect, and that's a big part of what I found out training. To let the guys know why they're doing these fundamental drills and why they're doing the basics, and explaining to them, you may never in your entire career grab a hammer lock. What you may do is eat worms and spit them at people on TV. But you need to know how to do a hammer lock. You need to know how to lock up. You need to know how to grab a headlock. You need to know the basics. You need to know how to walk in the ring. You need to know how to stand. You need to know how to do body language. You need to understand why. Now, those are the basics and fundamentals. Here's my philosophy on training. I believe when you get in there, there's more to training than just the wrestling part. As Les said, yes, you take days to do promos. Yes, you talk about psychology. Yes, you talk about how just some people in this business can walk in the ring and not have to do one thing except turn their head and look at someone, and it gets a reaction. That's the art. That's the work part of this business that nobody really fully grasps. And there's not too many people who know how to understand it and let it sink in. Also, I do not believe in the theory of doing 1,000 squats, 500 push-ups, running 5 miles. I think you should do that in the gym. And when you get to wrestling practice, let's talk about wrestling, because I have never, in the middle of my matches, have I ever stopped to do 1,000 squats. Okay? That has not helped me in my wrestling matches. Better shape? Certainly. But when I'm doing the wrestling training, I want to do the wrestling training. I don't want to do all the exercises the guys should have done before they got to the wrestling school or got to the ring. So that's what I look at it as. And I will definitely explain to the people what is expected of them if it's WWE, and explain to them, you need to know this, because without a solid foundation, you can know all the havoc corners you want, and you can do all the flip and flying, but I guarantee you, if you miss and you have to do something else and you have to get down and stop for a minute and think about what you're doing, how stupid are you going to look when you don't know what else to do except jump up on the rope and jump back off?
Right.
So, I agree 100%. You need to learn the fundamentals and basics, and I wouldn't change that for 1 minute.
I want to get to a couple quick chat room questions before we get out of here. We're running out of time. Let me find the name here that was actually in the chat room. It was Mark Myshak. He said, out of all the partners that you've had, Dr. Tom, who did you feel you had the best in-ring chemistry with?
You know, probably as much as I hated the team, I thought we had good chemistry. It was Chris Candido. I wasn't a big fan of the Body Donnas, but I was a big fan of Candido. Still am. So I thought we had good chemistry.
I want to bring up something about this. When you were with the Body Donnas, you had Sonny as your manager. In the middle of that run, Sonny left the Body Donnas and became the Smoking Guns manager. And you guys had brought in your Sonny replacement, Cloudy, who was basically a guy dressed as a woman. Where is Cloudy anymore? And have you seen him lately or spoke to him lately? And I know he was doing some stuff in Independence after that not too long.
Yeah, I actually, last time I saw him was at Chris's funeral. And we talked for a little bit, but that was the most horrendous gimmick ever. And we knew. I mean, we knew it was something to bury us. It wasn't anything to help us. It was, and looking back on it, I knew that then. But there was a lot of things going on in Chris's life, my life, that I didn't want to rock the boat. Chris said he thought that was the stupidest idea ever. Told Vince that to his face. And I thought,
wow.
Oh, God, yeah. But we still did it because they asked us to, basically told us to, and if we didn't do it, we wouldn't have had the job. So, I mean, it as sad and as crappy as it sounds, that's as sad and as crappy as it was. It was a horrible gimmick. I hated every minute of that part of it, and so did Chris.
If I
didn't mind it because he had a job. So.
Yeah, if I were to guess, I would guess your favorite tag team was the Heavenly Bodies.
No, my favorite tag team was the Heavenly Bodies with Stan Lane and Jim Cornette, but I thought, and we had good chemistry. Eric Embry and I had good chemistry in the ring as a tag team in Memphis. But as far as really enjoying a guy that who loved the business and would do anything for the business, Chris Candido was a guy who I loved to death.
Going to miss him. One last question. You were one of the trainers who helped train Ken Shamrock. Do you think that his character that they gave him in WWE, where, you know, he would basically go crazy, scream, blah, 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 hurt him more? Or did you think that maybe he just didn't have the ability to actually make the transition to wrestling?
Well, quite honestly, if you know Kenny, that's Kenny. he's a bit of a nut sometimes, and he's one of those guys that is so calm and easy going, but if you piss him off, I think he would be ready to fight you.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean that. I maybe didn't translate as well when he did it in his WWE run, but.
Can I throw something in real quick here?
Sure.
And what I see from Shamrock, and I never worked with him in any capacity, when he hulked up, if that's what you want to call it, in WWE, I thought it was rather comical. Did I know he could kick my can? I sure did, but that didn't frighten me. Now, when I hear him do his legitimate shoot interviews in MMA, in the UFC, I think, why didn't he do those promos in WWE?
Yes.
Because Russo was writing that stuff in. there you have it.
Yeah. When he did it in WWF, it just seemed forced, and he seemed kind of affected.
Could be. I mean, it very well could have been. It was the same with Al Snow's partner, Steve Blackman.
Yeah.
Same thing with him, man. He was a badass, but he was just so, I mean, I don't know if he's brain dead or dull. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
But he didn't come across as anything charismatic. He just was so mild-mannered, and I think Shamrock, they tried to make him more amplified, and then they were looking for it, but it just didn't mesh. But I knew Kenny when he was amplified, and he was a scary guy.
You brought up Steve Blackman. I got that same thing. He came across, well, better than Dan Severn on WWE, but I mean, as sort of, you know, one-dimensional, very bland. But when he spent time with me in HWA, he had a hell of a sense of humor. I mean, he really did.
Yeah.
It's just he never was allowed to project himself when he was working for the company and the character they had him.
Right.
They tried him some with Al, but it didn't go anywhere.
So. Yeah.
But back to Shamrock, wrestling ability. What'd you see in him? Good?
Yes. He was a very accomplished wrestler, believe me. The only thing I did to train with Shamrock was to get him ready for the rings in WWE because he hadn't been in there for a while. So he was definitely capable. He's still capable. I just know he's older, and I don't think he's... We all get older and slower, but he's still a guy I wouldn't want to meet in a dark alley.
Absolutely. I want to thank you for being on, Dr. Tom, and hopefully we can talk to you again soon. I hope you had a great holiday.
Hey, you too, guys. Anytime.
Tommy, I don't know. When am I going to see you again, man? I miss you.
Yeah, I do too. I thought we were going to get together before the year ended, but we'll have to work on that, Les.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. God bless you, my friend. I love you.
Thank you, guys. You too. And, Doc, please, give me a call. Let me be on the show again. Les, you can call me.
All right, I will, man.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Tom.
You
bet. Dr. Tom Pritchard here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. That's going to wrap things up. Of course, as you know, next week we've got Mr. Wrestling 2. He's going to be on the show, Johnny Walker.
Yeah, that was one of the hottest gimmicks in the history of Atlanta wrestling in the modern age, when I say modern age, 50s, 60s, 70s. I worked with a guy when he was before Under the Mask in the Tennessee territory. I've known Johnny Walker a long time, so it will be an interesting interview.
We're also going to find out who won the pay-per-view prediction game that we played tonight, and we've also got Hot Topic returning. James Gutman's going to be with us next week.
All right, very good.
Check it out next week, guys, Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. Check out WrestlingWeekly.com during the week, guys. Get all your news from there. And buy my DVD. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Nothing breaking, nothing in inside. in the beginning. Nothing can come in.